So Brandon talked this morning about the importance, and these weren't the words that he used, but the words I like to use, of trembling at the Word of God. And just what attention we need to pay towards His commandments. And the subject that I decided to talk about this morning, because it's been one that I've been thinking a lot about recently because I need it, is thankfulness. And the Bible says a lot of wonderful things about Thanksgiving. And we see the people of God praising Him in many wonderful ways. And I want to read Psalm 101. I got it written here. It starts out the top. It says, a psalm of praise. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. But before I get too far into this, I would like to pray one more time. Our Father, as we look at this subject of thankfulness this morning, I pray that You would open our hearts and help us to be honest with You about who we are. Help us, Father, to examine ourselves, to see areas in which we need to be more thankful. Help us, Father, give us the grace that we need to praise You the way You deserve to be. Amen. And I want to look at this four different points this morning. And I've talked about thankfulness before, but as I was thinking about it recently, I thought of quite a number of things that I didn't say last time, probably nearly 2 years ago, that I preached on this. So I'm going to re-preach the same sermon in a lot of ways. Those of you who have good memories are going to recognize a lot of the things that I say this morning. But I have a lot of new material as well. And I'm going to go over four main points. I want to talk about the dangerous path of unforgiveness. I want to talk about hindrances to thankfulness. And I want to talk about the road to success. And I also want to talk about the duty of thankfulness. So the dangerous path of unthankfulness we have clearly written out for us in Romans 1, starting in verse 20. We read, "For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen." Romans 1 expresses the depravity of man in probably the most vivid terms that we have in all of Scripture. And it's very sobering to realize that one of the two factors that led the world into this general state of godlessness was unthankfulness. When they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful. Those two factors led a state of mankind into complete godlessness. When Noah and his sons came off the ark, they were the godly ones. They were the ones that were just saved from the flood. But very shortly, we see the Tower of Babel, an incredible ungodliness that was spread to the whole world. And one of the two factors was unthankfulness. If you are unthankful, you're risking your spiritual life. You are halfway down a stream that will ruin your knowledge of God. Before you know it, your mind will be so blurred that you will be questioning the foundational attributes of who God is. You can only grumble about what God gives so long before you begin to grumble about who God is. And when you see a man to whom nothing is ever right, mark that man. In the next 6 months, expect to hear him admit that he's having a hard time loving God. It's a very serious matter. So I'm going to talk about hindrances to thankfulness. If this is such a serious thing, we need to take it seriously. And what are the things in our life that is going to hinder us from being properly thankful? And one, the pursuit of happiness. Jesus said, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." But Solomon tells us in Ecclesiastes 5:10, "He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This also is vanity." Here we have two direct opposites. You pursue righteousness, and you will find happiness. You pursue silver, you will not be satisfied with silver. You pursue things, you will not be satisfied with abundance of things. If you think you deserve more than what you have, you'll never be happy. People say, "I have a right to be happy. I have to be happy. I must be happy. And I have a right to this. I have a right to that. I deserve this. These are my rights." Such people are never happy and they're never thankful. What does the Bible say? After this whole book of Ecclesiastes, where Solomon is talking about the vanity of life and how he pursued this and he pursued that and he never found happiness and he could never find this, and you don't see a very thankful attitude through that whole book until you get to this verse at the end, and it says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. It's actually a pretty similar parallel in this subject as to what Jesus said when he said, "They that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Jesus said, essentially, that they who seek righteousness are happy. Another great hindrance to thankfulness, and these hindrances that I'm talking about, these first three anyway, tie very closely together. Pride is one of the greatest hindrances to thankfulness. And that it's the hindrance to thankfulness because it's what makes us think that we deserve more than what God has given us. I deserve that house. I deserve that job. I deserve that friend. And it's pride that makes you feel that way. And it's pretty hard to be thankful while you're feeling like you deserve more than you have. And then there's the left-handed pride. And there are more factors than this. There are more factors than just pride. But did you know that you can be no more self-conscious than you are proud? It's pride that looks in the mirror and says, I'm ugly. True humility would say, thank you, God, for everything you've given me. It might say, God, I have a hard time liking what I see, but thank you anyway. It's actually left-handed pride to be self-conscious, to dislike who you are and what God has given you. It's left-handed pride. Another thing, lack of surrender. To the unsurrendered man, anything that interrupts his plans will ruin his life. But when you understand how little you deserve, you'll be thankful no matter what. And I want to bring in another point, and this is the main point that I didn't bring in last time. So I'm going to really go into depth on this. I'm going to step back and look at a little bit of a bigger picture than I have on the other points. Because what I'm saying here will need a little bit more explanation for you to understand where I'm actually going. And my fourth point of hindrance to thankfulness is discouragement. So let's step back and take a look at this. Thanksgiving is a positive thing. It's a beautiful thing. It's a wonderful thing. It's something that we all desire to be able to do more. Because when we are thankful, we're enjoying it. Everybody wants to be more thankful, at least to some extent. We find it a blessing to our souls. We know it. We find it a joyful thing to read the Psalms and absorb the attitude of David and the other psalmists as they pour out their heart in gratitude to God. But in spite of how much we love it, we still find ourselves unthankful. In spite of how much we love reading about David's thankfulness as he's written it in the Psalms, in spite of how much we love thankfulness ourselves, there's still this one verse in Ephesians that bites us every time we hear it. And I'm going to read a few verses, so be ready for it. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things. Unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. This is a high standard. Giving thanks always for all things. Wow. You can't hear this verse without something coming into your mind that you really struggle to be thankful for. And it hits us over and over again. There's a pain in failure. You may even think about 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 things that you can't be thankful for. And the more you try to be thankful for them, the less you are. The more you sit in the corner and repeat, God, I thank you that my house burnt down, the less thankful you feel. Because your house just burnt down. When I hit a deer last fall, totaled my car, I was able to bless God on the whole thing. I can't remember the exact words that I used, but I turned my heart towards heaven. Thanked God in some sort of a way. But I'll be honest, I didn't feel extremely thankful. And if I had sat in the corner and repeated, God, thank you for ruining my car. God, thank you for ruining my car. The more times I had repeated it, the less thankful I would have felt. You can't expect to focus your eyes on a bad situation and feel thankful at the same time. You can look at it once, choose to say thank you, but you'd better focus again on the goodness of God, or you'll lose your thankfulness. Discouragement takes us a long way. We see that high standard. We see that we're supposed to be thankful for all things. And we end up focusing in on that and realizing we can't. And the harder we try, the less thankful we are. So what is the road to success? And pay attention. But to sum up what I have said, in simple words, let me say this. The road to being thankful for bad things is named thanksgiving for all things. And I know it sounds strange that the road to thankfulness is thanksgiving. But yes, I believe that to be absolutely true. The road to thankfulness is thanksgiving. Many people struggle with thankfulness because they are basing their attitude of thankfulness on things that are not biblical. Instead of taking all as all and thanking God for all things, our sinful nature separates every detail of life, focuses in on those 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, however many bad things you see. And you try to be thankful for it, and you get discouraged mighty fast. You realize this is a standard I can't attain. But if you would once step back and just look at it as an all, instead of as these little details, it would actually be a whole lot easier. To a certain extent, you're raising the standard above what the Bible actually says. Realizing you can't meet it, getting discouraged, and you walk away feeling like you're righteous to be mad at God for giving you a standard you could not keep. The reason you found it so hard to obey that command is because you're only obeying half of it. You got to look at the big picture. If you try to thank God for every detail of life, you will find things that you will really struggle with. But if you thank God for all things inclusively, you'll have a much easier time. If you look at the big picture, starting with your own salvation, things will look much brighter. The foundation of the Christian life is thankfulness, and so is... Sorry. I have this messed up. My notes. The foundation of the Christian life is the finished work of Christ, and so is the foundation for thankfulness. You must learn to be thankful for Christ in all things before you'll ever be able to be thankful for all things. And I'm going to show you numerous things that are given to us as examples of things that we are specifically told to be thankful for in Scripture. Yes, we're told to be thankful for all things. But many times we're given specific things, either by precept or by testimony, in which we are to be thankful for. And these are things that no matter how bad your life might be right now, if you focus on these specifics that the Bible gives us, it can entirely change your attitude about thankfulness. So let us turn to Scripture and let this testimony of Scripture tell us where to start with thanksgiving? There's no reason for me to prove that it is the right thing to do. It's self-evident. Thanksgiving is the right thing. We've already looked at Scriptures that strictly commands it. My purpose at this point is to direct your efforts of thankfulness in a biblical pattern. If you endeavor to obey the commands of Scripture in an unscriptural way, you're going to struggle. If you endeavor to keep the commands of Scripture in a scriptural way, it'll be a whole lot easier. So we're told, and I have these all written out because I got 2.5 pages, I think, of Scriptures that I'm going to go to. So don't feel like you have to try to keep up with me. But we're told to be thankful for ministers. In 2 Corinthians 1:8, "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Ye also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf." And we're told to be thankful at the remembrance of God's holiness. Psalm 30, verse 4. "Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of His, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness." Psalm 97:12. "Rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness." We're told to be thankful for the goodness and mercy of God. Psalm 106:1. "Praise ye the Lord, O give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever." And three more times in Psalms, we find that verse repeated almost verbatim. We're told to be thankful for the gift of Christ. In 2 Corinthians 9:15, "Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. For Christ's power and reign." In Revelation 11:15-17, "And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ. And He shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshipped God, saying, We give Thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because Thou hast taken to Thee Thy great power and hast reigned. For the reception and the effectual working of God in others." In 1 Thessalonians 2:13, Paul writes, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectively worketh also in you that believe." We're told to be thankful for deliverance from indwelling sin through Christ. Paul says in Romans 7:22, "For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law, but with the flesh, I serve God, sorry, but with the flesh, the law of sin. For victory over death and the grave." 1 Corinthians 15:55. "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding of the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that our labor is not in vain in the Lord." We're told to be thankful for the triumph of the gospel. In 2 Corinthians 2:14, "Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. We're told to be thankful for the conversion of others. Romans 6:17. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. We're told to be thankful for faith exhibited by others. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Romans 1:8. We're told to be thankful for love exhibited by others. In 2 Thessalonians 1:3, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you toward each other aboundeth, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure. We're told to be thankful for the grace bestowed on others. And here I have a number of verses. In 1 Corinthians 1:4, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched in him in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom ye are called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. In Philippians 1:3, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for ye all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. In 2 Corinthians 9:10, now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. Paul is here saying, one of your benefits of supplying goods for our needs, beside the fact that it works to your own spiritual enrichment, is that it causes us to praise God. We're told to be thankful for the zeal exhibited by others. In 2 Corinthians 8:16, but thanks be to God which put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you. For indeed he accepted the exhortation, but being more forward of his own accord he went unto you. We're told to be thankful for the nearness of God's presence. In Psalm 75:1, the psalmist, the chief musician, he says, the song of Asaph, unto thee, O God, do we give thanks. Unto thee do we give thanks, for that thy name is near, thy wondrous works declare. We're told to be thankful for appointment to the ministry. In 1 Timothy 1:12, Paul says, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy, because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. We're told to be thankful for the supply of our bodily wants. There's a little bit of context here that I wasn't able to put in, but in 1 Timothy 4, verse 3, I start in the middle here, speaking of doctrines of demons, he says, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. We're told to be thankful for all men. In 1 Timothy 2:1, I exhort therefore that, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. I just ran through a whole list. Probably wore some of you guys out. Maybe didn't keep up with everything. But these are specifics that the Bible has given us very clearly to be thankful for. And if we are going to try to start with Ephesians 5:20, I believe it is, where we're told to be thankful for all things, and we focus in on that, and certain specifics come to our mind that we find ourselves unable to be thankful for. We're going to be discouraged and walk away feeling justified about our feelings towards God. But if we open up the pages of Scripture and we let the testimony of Scripture and we let the precepts of Scripture tell us where to start with thankfulness. And if we start with these things, if you start with these examples that I've just given to you, and we start by thanking God for who He is, then you have a foundation that you can build on. The true thankfulness. And there you will find yourself able to actually obey the commands of Scripture. So I want to talk, lastly here, about the duty of thankfulness. Again, Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. C.H. Spurgeon said, thanksgiving is the soul of all acceptable singing. I just have a whole bunch of random things I'm going to run through here. Giving thanks in all things is a check against sin. Can a man give thanks for the money he stole? Let me give you one caution. Never touch that for which you cannot be thankful. If you can't, with an honest and clear conscience, thank God for something, stay away. Stay away. Anybody can be thankful when the fig tree blossoms. It is difficult to thank God for the bitter things and the disguised blessings. But many times God's greatest blessings come in the darkest packages. Everybody loves the beautiful song of the robin. But remember, the robin leaves as soon as it starts to get cold. The chickadee, on the other hand, sings her simple song all winter long. And that's true thankfulness. The grace bestowed on you at salvation is enough to indebt you to an eternity of praise and thankfulness. How much more with His day-by-day graces and His faithfulness, which is new every morning. For you to serve Him with 1,000 lives and die 1,000 times as a martyr would not be enough. It would be a small return for what He has done for you. Can you be slack in thanking Him? Slack in thanking Him? Again, C.H. Spurgeon said, it would seem that thanksgiving is the preface to a holy life, the foundation of obedience, and the vestibule of sanctity. Is it not self-evident? By looking at your own life, that a grateful heart is the mainspring of obedience. A grateful heart is the mainspring of obedience. So I'm just to recap here quickly. Many people struggle with thankfulness because they are basing their attitude of thankfulness on where they are in life instead of who God is. I'm going to repeat that. Many people struggle with thankfulness because they are basing their attitude of thankfulness on where they are in life instead of who God is. If you are trying to be thankful toward God because of your place in life, you might have a real hard time. But if you have a thankful attitude towards God because of who He is, you will likely be able to be thankful even for your place in life. The foundation on which you build the building of thankfulness for all things, including bad things, is thankfulness for who God is. Don't even try to thank God for carrying your barn away in a tornado if you can't thank God for his character and who he is. God gave you feet. Can you not march to the music of thankfulness? God gave you hands. Can you not fold them in a prayer of thankfulness? God gave you breath. Can you not breathe his praises? God gave you a tongue. Can you not speak of his goodness? But look behind you and thank God for where he's brought you, what he's brought you through. Look ahead of you and thank God for the assurance of grace to guide you through the uncertain future. Look below you. Thank God that he rescued you from hell. Look above you and thank God for assurance of heaven. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy to us. But most of all, we thank you for who you are. And we thank you that in spite of whatever our circumstances are, in spite of the details that make thankfulness hard, we thank you that we still have a reason to be thankful. And we pray that you would give us the grace to look to Christ, to look to the cross where he shed his blood and broke his body for us, and use that as the foundation of our attitude of thankfulness. We pray for blessings now as we part. Be with every one of us. Help us to grow in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.